Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, July the 19th, 2012, the birthday of our lovely and talented producer of the Buckmaster Show, Ms. Rosemary Brandt. Happy birthday, Rose. As she says, move along, Bill. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com and posting the show to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com, all venues for you to find our program. We are live noon to one each weekday. We'll get things rolling on the Buckmaster Show with our candidate interview series, which gives our listeners a chance to meet the folks running for office in Southern Arizona. Today we talk with Mark Koskinen, congressional candidate running against Martha McSally in the Republican primary in CD2. 20 minutes past the hour, famed wildfire expert Dr. Tom Swetnam from the University of Arizona. 30 minutes past the hour, the candidate series continues, this time with state legislative candidate Dustin Cox, who is in a three-way Democratic primary in District 9, and will close out the show with education expert Dr. Robert Hendricks, the highly respected Arizona educator, talking about new information that kids think school is too easy and not challenging enough. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on our Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also ask us a question on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Easy to find. My name, Bill Buckmaster. There is a two-way Republican primary in the race for Congress in CD2. CD2 covers much of the same ground as the current Congressional District 8, but there are some important changes. Namely, the new district will not include the Republican strongholds of Oro Valley, Marana, and Saddlebrook, which have shifted to Congressional District 1. That's that massive district that includes much of central and northern Arizona. The two Republican candidates in CD2 are Martha McSally, former Air Force fighter pilot who came in second in the April primary in the special CD8 special election, and Pima County employee Mark Koskinen, who joins me in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Mark, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Am I within the ballpark on pronouncing your name?
You are doing quite well, quite well.
You.
And your commercials are A+.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tell me something. Why are you running against Colonel McSally?
Because I think that we have the opportunity here to start to bring back to its senses the federal government. The Supreme Court's laid it out very well in the last month or so, that we have a choice coming into this November election, that we can look at the federal government and say, we want to have an ever-expanding tax you for doing things, tax you for not doing things, federal government, or we have the opportunity to stop it, turn it around, and get it back to the limited powers that were the framers designed the Constitution to operate by. I feel that with my time here in southern Arizona, having arrived here in 1972 with my family from Colorado, I live in the same house that I grew up in. My kids sleep in the same bedrooms that myself and my sisters slept in as children. I've got local knowledge here that I believe I'm the best candidate to represent this district. I've got a 22-year career in business. In addition to the 4 years I've done in government, both locally for Pima County and with the federal government. So I've seen what happens in private industry, what needs to be done there, how we can be successful. This election comes down to jobs, the economy, and in our case, border security. And I really think we need somebody with the skills, capability, and experience from private industry to help solve these problems. And this starts at the top of the ticket with the presidential nominee, Mitt Romney, with the business experience. And we need to be able to support that and the programs that we want to see help turn America around.
This is really a grassroots campaign. You've really only spent several thousand dollars on this campaign. Is it pretty much a Well, grassroots, door-to-door, telephoning friends, I mean, friends telling friends, kind of thing.
It really is. It really is. We, you know, having been in the community for a long time, we are really accessing that network of friends that we've got. The other thing is that because we did see in this district the Congressional 8 race, a lot of people have gone through fatigue. They've gone through the fight, if you will, for that that election series. And so those networks are out there, and we're tapping into those networks and saying, listen, we're not asking for huge sums of money. We want you to just do what you did last time, that is go out, talk to your friends, get this thing started, get it kicked, and make that contact. The best advertising, as we all know, is word of mouth, and that's what we're doing. So somebody said to me, well, you got to treat this like a business. And I am. We're treating it like a business where you start out and you watch every penny, you watch every dollar, and you make sure that you're getting bang for the buck. And the greatest return that we can get as voters here in CD2 is cast that vote and see things get better, see the federal government shrink so that we have resources available for the states, for local, for community, and for each individual taxpayer.
Mark Koskaniemi is with us. He is running in the Republican primary in CD2, the newly formed CD2. You've been speaking to a lot of groups. You were telling me before you went on the air that sometimes you speak to folks for 2-3 hours as folks fire questions at you. Do those questions, what do they revolve around generally? What are people concerned about?
I think they're really concerned about when are we going to get some certainty about our future? What can we do to get the federal government back in check? What can we do to make sure that it's being responsive to us? It's an interesting study to point out that, when I moved here, we had 4 representatives to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now we have 9. So we send 9 people to Washington to represent us, plus obviously 2 senators. But at the state level, we have 60 representatives in the state House of Representatives. So there's a larger number of people representing the state in the local offices, where we only send 9 to the federal offices. And I think, that is by design. The further we get from the state, the less influence there should be over it. And so you can't expect to have that same kind of leverage. But the problem is it's been perverted. It's been reversed. And we've got the federal government, getting into everything when we really need them to return the sovereignty to the states. I mean, I've got it on my website, markforaz2.com. That's Mark the number 4, AZ the number 2.com, a thing that says, if I'm elected, this is the filter we're going to use to judge every action that we take during the course of the day. And the first box is what we're about to do going to shrink the size of the federal government or return power to the states or the people? And if it says yes, then we're going to go ahead and do it. If it says no, then we've got some other questions to ask, but you can check that out at the website and see how your representative's office would work if I was elected.
Was that Mark, then the numeral 4, AZ, and then the numeral 2.com?
That is correct. That right? You've got that correct.
Talk a little bit about your business experience. You mentioned you're currently with the county. You're on unpaid leave from the county. What is your job at the county?
My job at the county is in the procurement department.
So deal with business.
I deal with businesses, and I've seen over the last 3 years what's happened to the contracting community, the construction community. I basically have been working primarily with the Department of Transportation and Flood Control. I see the strain that they've been going through, and we need to be able to get programs in place that support the community, fill the potholes. But to do that, we need resources, and resources are being, siphoned away to the federal level, which we need to get that reversed. As far as the majority of my career, it's been nearly 22 years in the chemical industry. I was in manufacturing. I managed a facility, where we were doing manufacturing, shipping, everything else, sales, technical support. So, I came up through the ranks, started as a field salesperson, went through R&D, technical service. I was vice president of human resources for a global chemical company, and then went on to be the country manager in Australia and New Zealand for the same company.
Jobs, we've been talking about jobs. What about the border?
The border is a huge issue for us here, and we've seen basically 2 studies in federal failure along our border here. And it's unfortunate that we have not had representation in Washington for so long, because now the federal government has chosen to run away from the border problem, try to make Arizona the bad guys, And if you look west of Nogales, those lands are essentially federal lands administered by them, and there's no control there. While east of Nogales, you have people like the Border Alliance Group, which Sheriff Deaver in Cochise County is, you know, working to manage, and he can't get any cooperation from the feds. You know, they won't take the phone calls anymore, they've said, and instead they put in a hotline so that people can report how bad Arizona's, you know, doing in various areas. So they said, well, you know, we're going to have we're going to use our discretion to decide whether we're going to prosecute folks to be deported because we don't have enough resources. And then they turn around and say, well, you know, we're going to open a hotline. So where did those resources come from? I expected that, you know, if they said they didn't have enough resources and whatnot, that we were going to see a reduction in our taxes because obviously they didn't need to spend the money. But they're spending the money on a hotline now.
Mark Koskaniemi is with us, Republican candidate in the CD2 primary. You've been going door to door and meeting with groups, and you're welcome. Folks can get a hold of you through the website.
They can get a hold of us through the website. Yeah, there's a contact us link there, and they can send through questions, and also we'll respond and give them any further information they need. We also have a YouTube link on there, so you can go find out who is Mark Koskaniemi, because that's one of the big challenges we've got, obviously.
Trying to get that name recognition.
Exactly.
So when it comes down to it, what is the issue between you and Colonel McSally? What is the issue that you believe would separate you from your opponent?
I think that the times that we are in right now require someone who understands the free market system, free enterprises, worked in private industry, and really can advocate forcefully for businesses. When I was in the chemical industry, we were dealing with the EPA, we were dealing with the Department of Labor, we were dealing with the IRS. So having the ability to, if you're a voter or a constituent in Southern Arizona, pick up that phone, call into our office and say, you know, I need help with this agency. And so my 22 years of experience in business is what I think is contrast me from my opponent, who obviously has a good 26-year military career. And I thank her for that service and everybody else who wears the uniform, obviously.
Mark Koskaniemi, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck to you. And again, you can give out your website.
That's markforaz2.com. Mark, the number 4, A-Z, the number 2.com. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Coming up now on 17 minutes past the noon hour on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Tom Swetnam. He is the man when it comes to wildfires and wildfire historian. Tell us a little bit about why this 2012 wildfire season in the western United States has become one of the worst in modern history.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time-clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:22. Well, the 2012 wildfire season in the western United States quickly became one of the worst in modern history. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Tom Swetnam, renowned Arizona wildfire historian and director of the University of Arizona-based Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. He's also the co-author of a recent study titled Forest Responses to Increasing Aridity and Warmth in the Southwestern United States. Dr. Swetnam, how are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Why has this season been so devastating? I mean, we've had some relief from the rains in parts of the West, but certainly Colorado had one of the – it might be the worst wildfire season ever up there.
It is for that state. They broke statewide records in total area burned, largest wildfires. It's the temperature, Bill. We've been breaking temperatures, station temperatures, weather station temperature records across the western U.S. and into the Midwest all of this summer. So extraordinarily warm temperatures. And, you know, it's usually a dry season this time of year anyway. So the warmth on top of that has just created incredibly dry forest fuels. We also had a really anomalously warm spring. March was the warmest March in almost all temperature records across the western U.S.
You know, the 50-year period ending in 2000 were the Southwest warmest for at least 600 years, according to some work that was done from the climate. There was a climate, as you know, Southwest Climate Summit here in Tucson. What is this? Is the drought we're experiencing here now, we're more than a decade into this drought, is this from long-term climate? Is it due to long-term climate change?
Well, yeah, this is a point of discussion, as you know. That's actually been a lot of talk about this just in the last week or two because a big report was issued, and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, top scientists coming out and pointing out that now the state of the science is that you can look at individual drought events or other kind of weather events around the planet, and some of these we can say with a fairly high degree of confidence and high degree of probability that they are linked to the increasing temperatures as a consequence of greenhouse gases. So not all events, but a number of them. For example, last summer's drought in Texas, there's a pretty strong consensus now among top climatologists that we can look at that event, and from a probabilistic point of view still, not an absolute 100%, yeah, that was definitely caused by global warming and the warming trend that's due to greenhouse gases, but a very high degree of probability that that event was linked to the warming trends and greenhouse gases.
Many folks probably saw that map in the paper a few days ago pointing out that the drought across the United States is incredible. I mean, if you look at that map, you have basically two bookended by two green spots,
right?
State of Washington, a little bit into Oregon, state of Maine in the east, the rest terrible drought throughout this country.
Right, right. We, you know, we've broken records that go back, in some cases, to the 1930s Dust Bowl. And, you know, now we're worried what's going to happen this coming winter. One thing that seems a little positive on the horizon is a tendency toward El Nino-type conditions developing in the Pacific. Let's just hope that that happens, because typically that will mean a more moisture, at least for the southern tier of states, including the Southwest.
And it is it's a welcome change getting the rain early with the monsoon. Some of the figures I am seeing show that this is the most productive, Tom Swetnam, second most productive since records have been kept as far as early rainfall totals in the Tucson area.
Right. It's nice. You know, Arizona, we had our bad year last year, especially, of course, with wildfires across southern Arizona and in central Arizona, a fire more than 500,000 acres and several big ones down here in our Sky Island mountain ranges. I haven't heard whether some of these rainfall events are triggering floods and debris flows. I wouldn't be surprised, though, that there is a bit of that. You know, that's the other part of the side of the coin there, is that we're happy to see the rain, but sometimes if it comes down too quickly on some of these burned landscapes, you get floods and mud coming right into people's homes. So let's hope that it keeps coming, but more steady.
Yeah,
not all at once.
Dr. Tom Swetnam is with us. He studies wildfires. He's a historian in that regard, and also director at the UA-based Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. Are you in your new facility yet, Tom?
Not yet. We're watching it grow. It's building about. You know, we're currently in the Arizona football stadium, where we've been for 75 years. but we're moving to the new structure, and it's under construction now about a block and a half west of the stadium. Beautiful building, and the plan is for it to be completed at the end of this year.
When you talk about drought, the tree rings really tell us so much. They tell us about a mega drought that lasted up to 60 years that occurred, 14 or 1500?
Yeah, well, before 1300 AD, there were a series of droughts going back into about 900 AD. So there's a set of them. The worst one was from about 1150 to 1170 or so. And we know this from tree rings because we find very old trees around the West in many hundreds of locations, and we study the rings, and the ring widths tell us something about how wet it was. So a very narrow ring would relate to a drought. So the long and short of it is that there were some really bad droughts that if they occurred today of that magnitude, we'd really be in trouble, because they could last one or two decades or longer. And so that's the nature of climate variability in the West. Is a lot of variability, and drought is a fact of life.
What do you think about a forest being overstocked and overdense? Some are saying that's the reason we've had all the fires.
It's part of it, for sure, especially here in the Southwest, Arizona, New Mexico. A lot of the places where we have ponderosa pine, in particular, this tree species that used to have frequent fires in these forests, but low severity, low intensity fires with flame lengths of only 1 or 2 or 3 feet tall. And now we put those fires out for about 100 years, so there's accumulated fuels. Now, that's particularly a problem in our pine-dominated forests, which are very common here in Arizona and New Mexico. As you get farther north in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado and northwards, you get more high-elevation country with less ponderosa pine and more spruce trees and lodgepole pine, and probably less of an effect of changed fire history up there because of fire suppression. But still, it's a factor. We're not able to really disentangle or to separate these two effects. Climate warming and accumulated fuels, both things are probably contributing.
Tom Swetnam, thank you very much for being with us. We'll have to keep a real eye on that because our so-called sky islands certainly could be at risk, couldn't they?
They are, and you know, the Forest Service is trying very hard to actually deal with this problem, and fortunately there's some focus on that, of dealing with the fuel problems.
Tom Swetnam, thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Syrian President Assad has made his first appearance since a bomb attack killed three members of his inner circle. He was seen on state TV today swearing in his new defense minister. Authorities in Bulgaria trying to learn the identity of the man who carried out a deadly suicide attack yesterday on a bus full of Israeli vacationers. They say the man was apparently in the country for less than a week. A Michigan driver's license was found, but it's thought to be a fake. Mitt Romney says news that more people sought jobless benefits last week is the latest proof that President Obama should not be given another term. Romney is campaigning today in Massachusetts. The president is in Florida. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 27 points, the NASDAQ ahead 23. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. we reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34, the Thursday Rosemary Brandt birthday edition. Yes, I had to get that in there again, Rose. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by our friends at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can find out more about all there is to do at southwestnewmexico.org. It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. What a great place to get away from all the heat. Plenty of great accommodations, including Gila Hot Springs Ranch. And there's hiking along the Continental Trail. The Silver City's downtown, very historic, so there's lots to do. You can explore the ghost town of Mugione. Arts, hiking, birding, whatever. It's over in Silver City. We continue now with the Buckmaster Show candidate interview series. Our focus now will be the three-way race on the Democratic side for two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives in District 9, which runs from Interstate 10 to the north side of town, east through the Catalina foothills and the Casas Adobes neighborhood, and into Midtown Tucson and to Sabino Canyon. The three Democrats are Victoria Steele, Dustin Cox, Mohur Sarah Sidwa, who was we talked to on the show last week. The top two vote-getters will face off against Republican Ethan Orr in the general election. And joining us now is Dustin Cox, former nonprofit head who now runs a consulting business. He came in fifth in an eight-way primary in 2010 during his first run for the House. But here we are 2 years later. And Dustin, you're involved in a three-way race. Top two vote-getters will move on. How are you and how do you feel about the race?
Well, I feel great. Thanks for having me, by the way. It's definitely a different dynamic running in a three-way race as opposed to an eight-way race. At least I can keep my opponents' names correct, you know.
It's hard in an eight-way race to even get any kind of recognition through the media because a lot of the media probably said, well, we'll see how it all emerges, who emerges, and not really worry about that primary. But you are in this three-way race, and what are your top issues?
I'm really focused, like most voters in our district, on jobs, the economy, and education. You know, you can't get to all the other issues without really addressing those underlying problems in those areas. We've got to get people back to work. We need to focus on renewing our economy and moving into the 21st century here in Arizona. And we absolutely need to invest in education. There, you cannot create an economy of the future without a strong public education system.
Would you like to see all-day kindergarten restored?
Absolutely. I think that it has been proven to really give our students an opportunity to put their best foot forward going into elementary school. And we need our students to succeed early so that they can be successful later.
Will you be supporting the extension of the one-cent sales tax dedicated to education?
I am. We can't risk not having a steady funding source for our public education system, especially with what apparently is the disdain that the Tea Party legislature, you know, has for public education. And so I wish there was a better solution because I'm not a fan of relying on a sales tax that is regressive, you know, to fund those kinds of things, especially in a state where we have one of the highest sales taxes in the nation. My goal is to support other solutions in working with our budget to make sure that we have the funds to do that so that in the future we don't have to rely on sales taxes to fund those things.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your experience.
Well, as you mentioned, I run a consulting business that I started 2 years ago after I decided to run for the State House of Representatives in the 2010 election cycle. Before that, I was the executive director of Anytown Arizona and Anytown America, and those are some of Arizona's oldest nonprofits working with children and families and young adults. And I had a number of great years with them, and it was during the economic recession. So I was kind of thrown into the fire there, and having to save an organization that was struggling, that was actually looking at closing its doors. And I'm proud of what we were able to do there with our staff and with me shepherding it through that. There are, you know, a lot of folks with jobs still because of the work we were able to do there, and there are tens of thousands of children and young families that are still getting those valuable resources.
Under the jobs category, would you like to see more solar jobs in this state?
You know, I really think that Arizona is settled in one of the most advantageous positions in the whole – not only the nation but the world. We've got 300-plus, you know, sunny days a year in this state, and it just – it's a common sense solution for us to look at getting away from utilizing the nuclear and coal energy, which is where most of Arizona's energy comes from, and toward a renewable energy source. And beyond that, it will create a new infrastructure and jobs base here in Arizona.
How about our tax system?
You know, I think we're out of whack, and our tax system and our budget are really a statement on our values as Arizonans. And when we rely on, you know, these really variable revenue sources to fund essential government sources like education, like healthcare, and other government services, you know, it doesn't give us a lot of stability. So I'd like to see us move toward a more stable tax structure that gives us a revenue base that doesn't produce that structural deficit that we see every year here in Arizona.
We're speaking with Democrat Dustin Cox. He's one of three Democrats in the newly formed District 9. The top two vote-getters will move on to face Republican Ethan Orr. Do you think it's a good idea, this privatization that has really swept Arizona's governmental system, certainly in the prison system?
You know, that's a great example that we have to point to that says it's not always a good idea to privatize these essential government services. Private prisons are more expensive and less secure than their counterparts. And beyond that, I have a philosophical problem with injecting a profit motive into imprisoning our fellow citizens. I think when you inject that profit motive in imprisoning people, what are you going to get? You're going to get a number of people getting imprisoned, right? And beyond that,
business is incarcerating people, you're going to try to incarcerate more.
Exactly,
right?
that makes them money, and we see that, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the governor has some folks who are involved in the private prison industry, and they have leveraged their influence, I think, to get more and more privatization efforts underway here in Arizona. I think that's inappropriate.
Some would say that the state legislature has been pushing its nose into local government far too much.
Yeah, and especially here in Tucson, being a Tucsonan, you kind of have to start to wonder, do they have something against us, you know, down here? Because it seems like the legislature is really concerned in how we run our elections, how we do our county bonding, how we teach our children, which books we can use. I mean, it's just coming from a party that always talks about small government. I can't make it work in my head. How is that small government? You know, the folks in Maricopa telling the folks down here in Tucson in southern Arizona how to run our lives. You know, we elect these local officials to make these decisions, and I respect the voters' opinions. And I think that those local officials should be able to make these local decisions.
District 9 is a pretty competitive district, isn't it?
It is. And actually, I'm really excited to live here because with the new districts, we really represent Arizona. We are roughly in Legislative District 9 split into thirds, which is really roughly what Arizona is. And so I find this opportunity to represent District 9 a real honor in being able to represent effectively and accurately the voters of all of Arizona.
What's the best way running a campaign? Through mailers, signs, meeting with groups, or just a combination of them?
I think it's all of the above. you can't just focus on one, and that's why you know our campaign is doing all of those things. But I think more than anything, voters really like to hear from who they're casting their vote for, and that's why I'm out talking to voters at their doors. It's actually one of my favorite things to do is to get to chat with voters and making phone calls. And we've got lots of volunteers, you know, doing the same thing. So I think that face-to-face and voter-to-voter interaction is really what's going to not only win this election in this primary and in the general, but it's also going to change our community. Getting people to talk about these issues is important for our democracy. And that's why I'm investing in doing that in my campaign.
Would you like to see more vocational education? Not everybody should be going to college, and maybe there's a place for vocational ed.
Absolutely, and my family is an example of that. You know, five generations of my family have called Arizona home, and we've got electricians, we've got you know folks who work on cars, we've got folks with college degrees like myself. But that really highlights that it's different for everyone. You know, their educational level of attainment, and we need to provide those options and streamline it for our students in Arizona because. There are great jobs out there who really just need the vocational training or maybe an associate's, and we need to provide and promote those opportunities as well as the four-year university experience.
Dustin Cox, Democrat, State House of Representatives. That's his race, District 9. Where can folks find out more about you?
At www.dustincox4house.com.
Okay, Dustin, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at NobleHopsPub.com and on Facebook. Coming up now on 1250 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice in Tucson. Tucson being named one of the top 10 bicycle towns by Outside Magazine. So, all of you bicyclists, Outsider Magazine, something like that. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Thank you, Rose. Tucson is not just one of the top 10. Tucson is number one bike town in the United States, according to Outside Magazine. Well, millions of school kids simply find their educational experience too easy. That's what is being suggested by a new analysis of federal survey information from the Center for American Progress. That's a Washington think tank that champions so-called progressive ideas. We're going to talk about that for the next few minutes with Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Dr. Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Dr. Hendricks, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Bill. How about you?
Doing real well. I thought school was supposed to be tough and challenging. What's this all about?
Well, it's an interesting study, and actually there have been a couple studies that have preceded it that come up with the same results. But the results are puzzling, and as we know, statistics can be a bit slippery. When you read between the lines, and I've looked at these studies very carefully. What the word that pops out for me is engagement. I think what students are saying is that they don't feel that school is as engaging in the classroom as it ought to be. And I would absolutely agree with that. I think teachers really have to work hard to make the material relevant. They need to really focus on a style of teaching that provides problem solving and not simply rote memorization. And when you look at what students are saying about mathematics and not writing very frequently in the classroom and not reading very much, I think what they're really saying is, you know, we're not being provided information that is all that interesting to us. And one can really interpret that and say, well, is more interesting mean more challenging? Does it mean harder work? I think it's probably all of those things.
Let me share with the listeners, Dr. Hendricks, some of the findings, some of the key points. 37% of the fourth graders say their math work is often or always too easy. 57% of the eighth graders say their history work is often or always too easy. And 39% of 12th graders say they rarely write about what they read in class.
I have to agree. I mean, I have seen a lot of rote memorization, a lot of factual recall. Part of this, I think, is really stimulated, though, by standardized tests that really are asking for that kind of information. So we can't put it all at the doorstep of teachers and saying, you need to go beyond factual recall. You need to be more creative. You need to do more problem solving. In a sense, those are things that are not being measured by the standardized tests. So in a way, we need to find a way to find a creative way to challenge students so they are more engaged. One thing that I don't see prominently mentioned is necessarily more homework. And there have been a number of studies that say, in so many words, piling higher and deeper with more homework, particularly if it's of a factual recall nature, is going to be very frustrating and unstimulating to students. And quite frankly, many teachers will lament that students just won't do it, or will put that responsibility as a shared responsibility with their parents. And so I don't think they're talking so much about homework as they are the actual classroom activities and what's happening, day to day in the classroom, how teachers are engaging them, and are they asking enough of them? And I would agree that the survey suggests and that it isn't enough.
Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us. Dr. Hendricks appears once a month on the Buckmaster Show. He is our contributor on education. And, if I put myself back in the classroom, and that happened, of course, many years ago, but if I had to do it all over again, and if I had to look forward to just thinking about going to class and memorizing information for standardized tests, I'd be bored, too.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening in a lot of classrooms. And again, that is the stimulus for that is the academic reward of doing well on those tests. But what correlation there is between doing well on those tests and students saying that the work isn't difficult enough? I think what students are really saying is it's not challenging enough because it's not relevant enough.
What is bell work? That's a question that came into us, something about bell work. This particular person's niece comes home with this stuff, and it's not homework. She says it really doesn't seem to be beneficial study material that they described. Do you have any idea what bell work is?
I do, and it's not in the context of homework. It's actually it's a concept of engagement, and it's the idea that when you come into the classroom, which is typically called the bell time. When you come into the classroom, there's usually an activity or challenging problem or brain teaser, on the board or somewhere else where the routine is the student is expected to begin their work immediately so that there's not a lot of wasted time, because studies have shown that classrooms that are not well organized, that are not effective, spend and waste maybe 5 to 10 minutes beginning of the period getting students ready. So the idea of bell work is when you come in the classroom, you sit down and you begin your work on something immediately.
Getting back to this study that was done from the Center for American Progress, that center supports new Common Core standards that are to be implemented nationwide in the 2014-15 school year. Those standards have already been adopted by 45 states. Has Arizona adopted those standards?
Arizona has adopted those. Uh-huh. And they tend to be more skill-oriented. They tend to be focused more on what is believed that the 21st century learner should know. And it's not as factually driven. There's a skill basis for all of those standards, but it goes beyond that with the concept that you'll be able to take those skills and accurately and effectively apply them as a citizen in the upcoming century.
You know, some of the reaction to this report we've been talking about, that the kids just aren't challenged, really has brought the response from some educators that we really underestimate students and getting them really engaged in the classroom. Would you agree with that?
We do. And one of the challenges for teachers is that you have typically in your classroom a very heterogeneous population. In other words, you're going to have students of many abilities in the class. And so what may be a challenging activity for one student may be a very boring exercise for another child. And so, you know, one of the challenges for teachers is to try to find multiple activities at different tiers of challenge.
All right.
Different students in the classroom.
Dr. Hendricks, thanks. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. There's more at SplendidoTucson.com. I've got my bottled water in front of me from Culligan. I love their water, the best drinking water and largest variety of water treatment products and services. What is it about Culligan? I like to tell folks, it just simply tastes better. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with you tomorrow with our Friday Focus and the Reporters Roundtable. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice. Good News Radio Network.